This morning, when you hear the words family life, what do you think of? You don't have to shout it out or spell it out or signal it up front this morning, but I'm curious. When you hear those two words, family life, what do you think of? Maybe for some of us, we think Norman Rockwell painting. Is that you? Don't raise your hand, but I wonder, is that you? The Norman Rockwell painting, and the title of this particular piece is called Freedom from Want. Freedom from Want Indeed. There is nothing that appears to be missing from this image. The food is there, dad's happy, mom's happy, and if mom and dad are happy, well then, by definition, everybody else should be happy, right? There's plenty of food, everybody's smiling, and even the guy in the bottom right-hand corner, you know that guy, he's in your family too, he's having a good old time, and he knows something you don't. But the takeaway here is just this: family life is looking good. But maybe when you hear those two words, family life, maybe that's not at all what comes to mind for you. Maybe it's more along the lines of this. J-O-Y. What does that spell? Joy. And you're sitting there and thinking, not quite. Not quite. When you hear those two words, family, life, what comes to mind for you? This morning, we're continuing with our sermon series entitled Family Life, where we're taking a look at God's work into the lives of certain people, certain families, certain groups, certain communities, with the result that at the end of the day, people know more about God's big picture plan for them in Jesus Christ. And that's our desire for you as well. As you spend time here, that you're able to leave here with big picture mission and ministry for you through God's Son for you, Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we come to our next family, and our next family, and it's well-timed, Mary and Joseph. And for some of us here, maybe that leads us to think back to the painting that looks a little bit like this. So Norman Rockwell, a biblical couple, so sweet. They make their way beneath the manger every year. They're outside in front in the plastic decorations, the ornamentation, the wood carvings, and so forth. Everybody is happy, 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 happy. But what if I told you this morning that even with this couple, there's something you and I know very well, and it's called conflict. And it takes a form of uncertainty. It takes a form of receiving news that maybe we didn't want to hear. And it results in the situation with a big question mark or hashtag, now what? Let me give you a glimpse of this. And we heard this morning from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1. But look what Matthew records for us in verse 18 with this couple. Let me share this with you. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now we talked about this in our adult Bible class this morning. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a minute. Hey, Joe, I'm expecting. And by the way, it's from the Holy Spirit, so don't worry about it. I don't know for certain, but I have to wonder how much at that moment Joseph's heart was cleaved in two. Joseph has this big picture in mind for he and Mary. And that's not part of it. And I wonder how, when those words wash over Joseph, I'm with child, it's from the Holy Spirit. I wonder how much of Joseph crumbled into a million pieces upon hearing that news. It's almost like he had this Norman Rockwell picture in mind of how life was going to be. Family around the table, food, don't worry about it. Joy, happiness, it's all there. And yes, even the interesting fellow at the bottom right corner, he'll be there too. But when the news comes in from dear old young Mary, I wonder how much that picture starts to fade a little bit. It's almost like you can see it dissolving before Joseph's eyes. Can you? It's kind of like this. Joseph going, gone. Have you had that experience in life? In your family or maybe in an important relationship? Where you got the Norman Rockwell and everybody's there. The food's there, the ambiance is there, the aromas are there, the laughter's there. But then something crashes into that you didn't expect. And just like it was with Joseph, it feels like that, doesn't it? Going, not going to happen, gone. You see, when that happens, and this is how it was for Joseph, Joseph's response is just this, to do what? To close the door. Something that we miss a lot in the context of this situation in first century Judaism is in the arrangement of this engagement. It was like marriage. The commitment was so ironclad, it was like marriage. While Joseph and Mary were not living together yet, there was still this desire to honor it as God's design for their lives. But Joseph, well, let's be honest this morning, Joseph has just been dealt a whopper of a card. And that Rockwell picture of life for he and for Mary is going, gone. And when conflict comes, and maybe you know this as well, the easy thing to do when conflict comes is just this, to do what? To close the door of the relationship, to close the door of communication, to close the door of interaction, to shut down the emails, the texting, and so forth. Close it down. See, the thought is, if I can close off the conflict and the dysfunction and the unfavorable, then I can close off unnecessary pain and heartache. Welcome to Joseph's life. But Joseph, being the character that he is, in a good way, having the integrity and the character of heart that he does, he doesn't want to slam the door in Mary's face, but he still wants to close it. So look what Matthew records for us in verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. How does Matthew label Joseph here? As Mary's what? It's up there. What is it? Husband. The relationship, once again, is like a marriage. And Joseph knows full well the penalty for adultery. It's spelled out black and white in the Old Testament, like in Deuteronomy 22. The penalty for adultery is what? Stoning. Yeah, we're not talking about little pebbles the size of, you know, nerds, the little candies. You know, like, there you go. I hope you learned a lesson. Don't do it again. We're talking the big ones, the ones that you use for landscaping, the ones that end life. Joseph knows this. So if he goes public with this issue in his life, if he slams the door of the situation publicly, in the public arena, it's not going to work out well for Mary. So he decides to just do this, to close the door quietly and move on. Have you been there? Are you there this morning? Has something crashed into the lane of your life this week? And right now, your feeling is, it is so much easier just to close the door and quietly walk away and not even worry about it. Have you been there? Are you there this morning? It's easy to do, isn't it? How often do we close the door? Has the door been closed on you recently? Has something happened? Was something said? Was it recent? Was it years ago? Is the result still the same? The door is closed. See, I think, friends, this morning, we know what it's like to close the door, don't we? But we also know what it's like to be on the other side of that door. And in a word, it hurts. See, friends, here's the thing. Joseph is trying to close a door that God is opening. Let me say that again. Joseph is trying to close a door that God is opening. Now, if you were to take a bet this morning, how well do you think that's going to work out for Joseph? Is someone able to close a door that God wants open? See, maybe you've found that out already in life, that if God wants something open, what happens to it? It opens and it opens wide. In this situation, no matter how messy, no matter how conflict-riddled it looks, nothing is going to change God's plan of gospel, grace, and salvation for Joseph and Mary, but also for you and for me. Verse 20, we hear this. Now, once again, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. He's got the word, and it's not the word he wanted. In fact, he wants anything but that word. He wants to rewind. He wants a do-over. He wants things to change so that Mary is not pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And he's about to close the door and just walk away. But look what God does. Look what God does to recover the situation, and look what God does to keep the door open. And think about those doors that have been closed in your life and consider what God is able to do for your doors as well. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, this is Joseph, but as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Between this passage and chapter 2, he receives a message from an angel in a dream four times. I don't know what kind of medication Joseph's taking at night or what's going on in his life, but to have an angel come to you four times with a message that so oftentimes communicates God opens doors. God opens doors. Joseph, God's opened this door. See, friends, here's the thing. Joseph needed more than his own reason or strength. From a worldly perspective and a lens, it looked pretty messy, didn't it? Once again, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Future missus comes to you and says, the family's growing, it's from the Holy Spirit. And you're thinking, yeah. Does it say gullible right here? And if Joseph's going to operate on his own worldly wisdom and reason, the situation is toast. We know this, don't we, as Christians? We confess this in our creeds, and this is grounded in God's word. We know that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. But the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. Our confirmation students are learning this right now. Actually, we just finished with the Apostles' Creed. But see, this is what God does for you. When the situation doesn't make sense, when you can't wrap your mind around it, when your heart just can't absorb it as a shock absorber anymore, God is able. When you can't figure it out, when the math doesn't come up, and it just doesn't seem like the variables are lining up where they should, God is able. You see, God was able to do this in Joseph and Mary's situation. And God is able to do that in yours as well. Joseph, keep the door open. Friends, how many times do we encounter this in life where God is actually wanting this? The open door. This morning, in our first reading that seminarian Eric Sauer read for us this morning from Genesis 33, we see another glimpse of what I call faith and family dysfunction You got two brothers, and if those of you who have siblings here in the house this morning, you got siblings, you know about this, right? You know, Animal Planet, you know, two rams that, you know, butt heads like this, it kind of happens. Norman Rockwell thing, not, anyway. Jacob and Esau had a horrific falling out, and it's understandable. And after all, Jacob did everything he could to steal the birthright and blessing from dear old brother Esau. And as you might expect, Esau, he ain't too happy about it. And the dysfunction and the animosity and the conflict fester over time. And you and I know how this works. Days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into years, and before you know it, it seems like there's no relationship at all. And it seems like the door is what? It's closed. So the situation comes up where Jacob and Esau are going to have the chance to meet face to face, and you can about imagine how much Jacob's pulse is racing. I mean, what's Esau going to do, and what's he going to come at me with? More than words? Sticks and stones? An army? So Jacob has it worked out where he's going to have his whole family stretched out in front of Esau, and he's going to appeal to him emotionally. I mean, after all, who's going to take somebody out in front of all their kids and their spouse? And but look what happens. And this morning, I want you to see the open door. I want you to see the open door that God brings into a relationship. And I want to challenge you with your closed doors this morning. And I want to ask you if there's grace in your relationship this morning for an open door. Genesis 33, verse 10, Jacob, once again, they're face to face now, Jacob and Esau, how's he going to treat me? Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand, for I have seen your face. Look what he says here. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. See, where Jacob expected a brotherly blowout, Esau gave him something unexpected. Something that when it hit his heart and his mind, it was very familiar. And it was familiar of somebody who works in your life and my life as well, and it's our Lord. See, Esau wasn't interested in slamming any more doors or closing doors or deadbolting the doors. He was interested in doing something much, much more different, something the world says you shouldn't do when people hurt you. Open the door. And while Jacob is picturing this and hoping that this doesn't happen, but he's a realist, right? He's pragmatic, and he's got the worldly lens. He knows about closed doors, and he's thinking this is going to happen, but instead he gets this. He gets the open door, and it, on the door frames and on the doorposts are written, forgiveness for you, grace for you, mercy for you, my love for you. Now, if you haven't heard it by now, then hear me now. This gives us a great glimpse of Jesus Christ for you. And in Jesus Christ, God opens doors for you. The Gospels tell us that when Christ gave up his life on the cross for you and for me to pay a debt we could never even hope to pay back, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, as if God was saying to you and to me, open door. And just so you and I know how much God is able to open doors, he shows us he can open up all kinds of doors. Even the door to the tomb that was keeping Jesus Christ inside. But the tomb doesn't hold Jesus back. And friends, your conflict, your situations, your struggles, your past, your mistakes, your baggage, don't close you off from Jesus Christ. And God's desire for your relationships, whether it's with a spouse or a child or a parent or a cousin or an uncle or a coworker or a classmate or a teacher, his desire is that there be no more closed doors in your life as well. Friends, this morning I'd like to ask you, are you trying to close a door God is opening? you trying to close a door that God has already begun to open? Whether light and the sounds and the smells that come through, they sound like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, if we're being fully honest with ourselves and with you, we'd have to admit that we've gotten really good at closing doors. It's easy. It's comfortable.